Have you ever wanted a concise resource on the history of Christianity from the time of the apostles through today? Well, we have just the book for you. It's titled The Church from Age to Age, A History from Galilee to Global Christianity. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Church from Age to Age by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, The Church from Age to Age, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. You do start to feel a little out of touch with the listeners when you take almost, well, more than a week off of live broadcast here on Issues Etc. Good thing we have the Issues Etc. comment line, because our listeners are never out of touch with us. We try to provide as many ways as possible for them to stay in touch. And we know that even though we were at home spending time with the family or traveling or something like that, you were still listening to Issues Etc. We kept up with our encore and some new programming then. But also, our beloved on-demand listeners often listen a week or so behind, some even more. We want to give them a chance to ask those questions, to make those comments, to make show suggestions, or to offer their criticism. That's what the Issues Etc. comment line is all about. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. It's always there and always ready to answer. And you can leave a message of any nature. If you got a question, comment, show criticism, or show suggestion, happy to hear it. 618-223-8384. And since we've been off for a while, we're back live on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 10th. Let's go to the Issues Etc. comment line. Begin with a comment about the movie The Hunger Games.
Hello, my name is Kurt from Norman, Oklahoma. I have a comment and a question related to your two discussions you had this last week about the Hunger Games movie. When I was watching the movie, and I confess I haven't read the book quite yet, one of the things the movie caused me to do was root for the oppressed people, the districts and Katniss and those participating in the Hunger Games, to overcome the oppressive government, the Capitol. There was particularly one scene in the movie, which rumor has it wasn't in the book, but is a foreshadowing of the future books with more rebellion, that showed the people of a particular district already starting to rebel. I thought while watching this that it was promoting an anti-Christian and therefore sinful position of not submitting to the governing authorities, as found in Romans 13 and further in the Fourth Commandment. However, when I brought this up to a fellow Christian who had seen the movie, he disagreed, saying that the actions and oppressiveness of the Capitol warranted rebellion from the people. This led me to wonder, what is the exact proper Lutheran teaching on this subject of governing authorities, particularly with how it relates to oppressive governing regimes, such as in our world's history, the biggest example being Nazi Germany. I feel like this is an important topic that would be wonderful if Issues Etc. could do a show on, since it seems to me like our culture does tend to root for the power of individuals to organize themselves, especially with online social networking, to rebel against the government of what many consider to be an oppressive government that should be overthrown. On that note, I would love it if you have any recommendations for a particular Lutheran scholar, either past or present, who treats this topic really well. Thank you. Love the show and can't wait for the Easter music. Have a good day. Bye.
The Easter music of which he speaks is LutheranPublicRadio.org, and that's available right now. Started Easter Sunday morning for anybody to listen to absolutely free. LutheranPublicRadio.org. It is sacred music all through the Easter season from the same people who brought you Issues, etc. Now, with that little plug out of the way, I can recommend a scholar. Dr. John Wart Montgomery has, I think, thought and written extensively on the question, the very question you're raising. We've actually done a couple shows with him in the past where the question of the propriety, the morality of the American Revolution has been brought up as a question. There are two principles, at least, that the Christian church, the Christians ought to operate with under any government. Okay, what is the purpose of government given by God? This is Romans 13. The purpose of government given by God is to punish evil and reward good. And it does so with two tools. One is reason and the other one is force. Where reason does not work, then force is the last resort. He does not bear the sword in vain. But reason is kind of the law end of it. That is, we first say to people, don't do this, and here's the penalty for not doing it. And reasonable people and people who are able to put two and two together will say, well, I won't do it because I don't want to have the penalty. So the purpose of government is simply to curb gross outbreaks of evil. Now, it comes in different forms. Protecting people, sometimes going to war, having a system of laws. You notice Romans 13 says nothing of the actual political system. It says nothing of democracy, or in the case of when Paul was writing, it would have been essentially the Roman Republic with Caesar at its head, kind of a strange mixture of democracy and dictatorship. Then, or any other form of government that has prevailed in human history. It doesn't speak to that. It simply says, this is what government's for, and this is why God institutes government. So that's the first principle that we need to operate with. What is government for? Now, the second one is, we must obey God rather than men. When the government would require us to sin, to act against the word of God, in conscience or in action, then the principle that Christians operate with from Scripture is we must obey God rather than men. Now, that might mean what's been called civil disobedience, where you disobey and you're going to suffer the consequences. If you disobey a law that would require you to sin, you may go to jail, and you should be happy to do it. Not happy to go to jail, but happy to obey God rather than men. And this has a long history as well. That does not mean we get to decide when we obey and when we don't. It's God's word that has us, makes that decision for us. And then there's a third thing, I think, and that is our general duty as Christians to love and serve our neighbor. Now, he mentions the Nazi regime, where government overstepped its God-given authority. Instead of punishing evil and rewarding good, it did the opposite. It punished good and rewarded evil. Where Christians were required to sin, and many Christians disobeyed the government and obeyed God instead. And where out of love for neighbor and out of service for neighbor, the Christian is compelled to act against the government. Now, what happened to many Christians who did that? Well, they got killed. That's what happened, which is the price you may pay for loving your neighbor, which is the price you may pay for obeying God rather than men. What about rebelling against government? Is it ever right? Dr. Montgomery said, I think in the conversations we've had with him, is, well, if you're asking if it's ever right, the answer is no, it's never right. It may be the lesser of two evils, which is different than saying it's right. It may be the lesser of two evils. It may be choosing to act where choosing not to act would result in and be a greater sin, a sin of greater consequence, or your neighbor would come to greater harm. So what do we end up when we've run all that through the blender? We end up with a very messy world where Christians get their hands dirty all the time, where we act on our best conscience, guided by the word of God, and you choose to rebel against God's appointed authority at your own risk. Now, you may have to choose to do that as a lesser of two evils. But you never do it saying, well, I'm doing the right thing because the government's so wrong. Now, is that a comfortable position? Is that a particularly American position? No, it isn't. Which is why Christians are Christians first and Americans second.
Hey, Pastor Todd, I really enjoy the clip from the angry atheist on your comment line. I was wondering if you might just respond to what he brings up now and then. For example, Justice Scalia said it isn't irrational to accept the testimony of eyewitnesses to miracles. What is irrational is to reject a priori with no investigation the possibility of miracles in general and of Jesus Christ's resurrection in particular, which is, of course, precisely what the worldly wise do. And I think, I would imagine that's what your angry atheist does, is he rejects a priori the possibility of miracles, precisely what he accuses us of doing. And it's not what we're doing. So, in any event, enjoy the show.
Well, thank you very much for the comment. Now, let me take issue with the first with the label angry atheist. This is a caller who called with a comment. We responded to the comment. We actually took some of the comments and turned them into a spot, which I think, you know, to talk about what you can do with the issues, et cetera. Comment line, 618-223-8382. But I don't think there was a lot of anger there. There may have been a little friendly jab there, but I don't detect a lot of anger. So I think we're either dealing with an agnostic or an atheist, but someone who is not a Christian. Admittedly not a Christian, but not necessarily angry. Now to the point that you made, I think you're responding to something that the previous commenter said when they said that believing that everything in the word of that the word of God is without error is intellectually infantile. Well, that depends. If you have a document that is divinely inspired, if you have a document that is God-breathed, if you have a document that attests to its own truth, if you have a document that actually contains no errors, then it's not necessarily intellectually infantile to believe that. Now, if you compare it to every other document in human history and every other document in human experience, all of whom have mere human authors, then of course it would be intellectually infantile without any evidence to the in your favor to say, well, this is completely without error. But as Christians probably should be quick to point out, Holy Scripture is not just any other document, and it has not, it doesn't just have mere human authorship. It's not necessarily intellectually dishonest or unreasonable to say that there could be, if there is a God, there could be a revelation from that God that contains no errors. That's not necessarily intellectually dishonest. The question is, let's put it to the test. Let's see if the document actually contains errors or not. And I would say that an honest intellectual who looks at the case, who looks at the facts, would say, well, kind of fits the bill for a document that contains no errors. When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We'll talk about the war on women.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Is Christianity merely one limited, half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the Latest Issues, Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues, Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues, Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues, Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues, Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.